What's up, guys? BDS is in the building once again, and welcome back to Here's the Sitch. I'm Mike.
And I'm Lauren, and we are coming live to you from our podcast room in our house, and we are quarantined along with the rest of you guys, unless you are an essential worker. Claps to you if you are. Grocery store, medical, postman, anything. If you're out there working, thank you. Stay safe. We love you guys. We would not be able to live without you. So thank you. And I think we want to start off on like a sensitive topic.
That was not me, Hanish.
I know. That was my laptop. Let me mute that. Sorry, guys. We are amateurs on the audio situation, but we are making it work.
It was so funny because you were just yelling at me. She goes, make sure you do not answer any text messages while we do the podcast. And it's so funny because JWoww just texted me and I was like, oh my God, I have my phone on silent. She just said that she's dropping off the bench, honey, for our gym, which we will have an extra bench now.
Thanks, Jenny.
Yes.
Love her.
Okay, honeys.
All right, so back to your normally scheduled program of Here's the Sitch podcast. Mm-hmm. We are going to deep dive into a subject that we love to talk about, and you guys often ask us questions about this subject nature. Please excuse the tap dancing on the floor. It's our dog Mosey walking around. He desperately needs a groom, and I'm going to have to find a way to cut his nails, but... yeah, that's happening in the background. Sorry, guys. We're all struggling here. We're all working from home.
We are doing our best out here in the streets, guys.
Yes, we are all working from home as best as we can. So, now, what I want to dive into is a really fun subject. It is relationships in the quarantine situation, which is a pretty serious situation. I feel like there are a lot of relationships struggling out there. You see plenty of those memes outside when you're on your Instagram or on Facebook or whatever, and they're making jokes about like the divorce lawyers like breaking it in after quarantine's over and all this funny
stuff.
They do
say that the rates of divorce are going up since quarantine. I'm not joking.
Where they're going because they're quarantined.
I don't even know how they're getting these numbers so quickly.
Where are they going?
The whole country shut down, but I'm seeing articles about divorce going up. So, but we're all in this together, guys.
Yeah, so we're making light of a subject that's very serious, but we do want to talk about it because obviously we are a married couple and we're quarantined and we want to share our own experience with it. So I think we have a unique perspective because Mike and I work together a lot. For example, Here's the Sitch is a podcast for both of us that, you know, forces us to sit down and have these eye-opening conversations on different subjects we may disagree on, we may have different perspectives on, and
we also have our YouTube channel that we work together on as well.
We also have the YouTube channel, The Situations, which is coming back, right?
It is coming back.
It's been on hiatus.
Yeah, the country shut down right now, and the YouTube is on hold. It kind of gives
us... But I bought those stands so that we could... They're really asking for...
I'm not a fan of the stands that you bought, honey, at all.
They were the best ones, though.
Yeah, I don't know.
They're really begging for more Eating Our Best Life episodes. I see the messages. Well,
we're definitely getting there, honey. We are up to 150,000 subscribers, so kudos to us. And we just started building that. As soon as the country restarts, we will start filming more episodes of Eating Our Best Life. Prison stories. Obviously, we're doing, I think it's under construction with the situation.
Yes! I can't wait for that one. I'm really excited about that.
And not to forget our t-shirt business, which we also run together. So we run a lot of businesses together.
Yes, we do.
Me and the missus. So we know a little thing or two about...
relationships.
I guess, yes. But to our... I don't know if I say kudos or to our... Or what you want to say. But I've been through tons of therapy in the past, 5 years?
Yeah.
I've been through anger management. I've been through one-on-ones with therapists. I've been to, you know, rehab. And I really took all that stuff seriously. And it really has helped our relationship and the way that we manage relationships.
Because you applied it to every aspect in your life. You didn't just take it as... advice on sobriety. You applied it to every aspect of your life, like especially when you're speaking to people and you're saying, I try to be a better husband to my wife. I try to be a better son to my mother, et cetera, down the road. You applied it to every single relationship you have and every job you have and everything. So that's amazing. And I think that's something a lot of people might overlook when they get into early stages of therapy, because they think they're going to therapy for a reason, whether it's I have an addiction problem or I am struggling with a relationship member, with a parent or a sibling or a child, and you're really focusing on that one person, but you have the opportunity to apply all of the tools you're learning into your entire life and benefit every relationship and benefit every job and career path and passion projects and all these different things.
I'm definitely a big believer in therapy, and definitely has improved my life over the past couple of years. And for people that have never gone through any of it, it's sort of like someone just giving you, you know, education on different perspectives in life. Mm-hmm. You know, you could be looking at a 6 right now, but I am looking at a 9, and we are sort of arguing, no, you see a 6, I see a 9. You need to understand from a big picture that if I was in your position, that I may see the 6.
Right.
You understand, honey?
I understand, because that happens to us all the time. Oh, he is a Cancer and I am a Capricorn.
Opposites right there, guys.
So we see things very differently very often. Mm-hmm. So the point of all of this is really to just say that, to give you some advice about how we deal with our differences and how we handle ourselves in like a working environment of being together all the time. Because I think a lot of couples are having a hard time with having a significant other or a husband or wife at home 24/7 and then managing their business from home, mm-hmm. working with their coworkers, their... Who the hell is pulling up in my driveway right now?
Exactly. Zach just pulled up, honey. They're dropping off the bench right now. Yeah, honey, I'm not going outside to grab this bench right now. Zach is going to drop this off at the door right now.
Oh, okay.
We are continually practicing social distancing right now. Big shout out to JWoww in the building for dropping us off the extra bench so that we can continue our fitness journey at home.
Yes, thank you, Jenny. We're very happy.
Now, back to relationships. Honey, what are the three top things you would give advice to, let's just say, another female? And I'll do the same for the male.
Three. Wow.
Unless maybe if you have 5 things to say, we could say 5. Because women are a little more complicated than men. So if you want to say 5 things, you can say 5. And I will...
Well, you know, I will say what has helped me. And I think...
You have to
give advice. I usually think one at a time.
You have to give advice to another woman that's in a relationship and how she can handle her relationship.
Okay. So when you find yourself in a situation where you disagree immediately and you're recognizing your feelings of getting really frustrated and angry and wanting to either yell or say something really rude or negative that will not, you know, bring any positivity to the conversation
no
or
that.
Solve the differences
exactly.
that are happening.
Nope.
Take a huge deep breath.
Mm-hmm. Good job.
Close your eyes. Mm-hmm. Probably count to 10 or however long you need to until you're able to have a clear mind. Because the main thing for me is when you hear something you don't like or something you don't agree with, your brain immediately like sees red and you can't communicate.
So you're saying
what you're thinking.
You're pretty much saying never speak when you're angry.
Yes.
And you're saying never let your emotions rule your intelligence.
Yes.
Exactly.
And the biggest piece of advice I could say is that not to sweep things under the rug.
Oh, I like that.
And this is...
Confront things.
Yes. Very good. This is a huge thing we do in our relationship. We don't give either of ourselves or each other the opportunity to like back away from a disagreement. In the sense where if you need to cool down, yes, but we don't get heated like that. But we'll talk it through. Like, he won't, if he's upset about something or disagreeing about it, he will not walk away until like we solve it,
yeah,
mm-hmm. and work through it,
yep.
or we may still disagree on the subject, but we're going to talk about what happened yeah. that upset one of us.
Yeah, we usually
and how to move past it. Like we never will go over like 24 hours or go to bed still angry or anything like that. We still have disagreements, mm-hmm. but we don't let, and he doesn't let me close myself off or put a guard up or a wall up and, you know, go sulk in another room or not talk to him for a day. Like, we don't do that. He'll approach it head on and say, what upset you?
Yes.
How did it happen?
Mm-hmm. Why do you feel this way?
This is why I said this, and this mm-hmm. is why I felt that way. And it's really just communication, because it's just the person, whoever is upset, wants to feel heard.
And so, guys, keep in mind, a lot of the times, I'm going to be honest, and you should probably remember this, a lot of the times, you're hangry.
That's most men's cases.
A lot of times you're hungry and you're tired and, you know, you're just acting out. Keep in mind that, you know,
if you're moody, I just know you need to be fed.
Yeah. I always like to say to lead with fitness. That is how I always like to lead with my life. And life is a lot smoother. And some people are saying, well, how do you get exercise now when, you know, the gyms are closed? Well, obviously, I'll be honest. Most recently, I prioritized my fitness and I called Bowflex up. But before we even had Bowflex, guys, I was doing wind sprints up the driveway.
Yeah, luckily it is not winter, so everybody can go outside. You could either put on a jacket if you need to, or...
Even if it was winter, layer up, guys. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? There are no excuses in life. You got to get the body moving. And we're in unprecedented times right now. Luckily, it is it's summer out there right now, so it's a little warmer where you guys can go out there and get the body moving, walk around your block, you know, walk up your driveway, walk on your property, and you'll find that once you get those endorphins moving, you start to feel better, and it is a chain reaction. You start to eat better, you're making better decisions, and in your life, when it comes to your relationships, you're able to sort of have like healthier relationships because of that one decision.
Yes, because you're healthier to yourself. Yeah, and exactly. I think that's a huge point that I wanted to bring up that I totally forgot. So thank you for going with the fitness area, because what I've noticed in my relationship is that if I'm not taking care of myself,
how can you take care of anyone else?
The relationship is going to suffer no matter what. Mm. And you won't really understand why it's out of funk or why there's not an argument or something. You're just like, it's just a different vibe and a different energy. And it's because maybe you're sleeping in too much. Maybe you're not getting active. Maybe you're having a cheat meal every day and that sugar and crap in your body is just making you not feel great.
Yep.
So this is like a huge thing when Mike says like your diet is not just what you eat. So your diet is what you listen to, what podcasts movies, you're listening to, what music you listen
what
to.
What friends you are, you know, you're around.
Yeah, what books you read. You know, you can love a murder mystery. I'm not saying like you can't read a murder mystery. Yeah. But I'm just saying have that source of positivity and that law of attraction type.
Oh, I love the law of attraction.
In every aspect or whatever aspects of your life you can incorporate into. And it will... Your relationships will all be a reflection of like that vibration that you're on yourself, because a relationship is two people.
Uh-huh. A lot of the times when there's any type of disagreement at all, I like to self-evaluate myself. You know, what is my part?
Me too.
In whether it's an argument or this discussion, why am I mad? Why am I sad? Am I hungry? You know, I evaluate my day of how I got to this point.
And I think it takes people a really long time to get to that point. We both do that. We're both very lucky that we both do that.
You also have to evaluate ego, pride, and expectation.
And that's hard.
And once you evaluate ego and pride and expectation and you put those three into the equations, I will tell you guys right now, when you set those three guys aside, a lot of the times you're like, wow, that one was ego.
Yeah.
Wow, that one was pride. Oh my God, that was expectations. Oh my goodness. And then you're like, wow, I don't even know why I'm mad right now. Wow. Okay. It happens a lot in my house. My wife just comes up to me with a big smile and she goes, I don't know what was happening.
Well, that's when it's a hormonal argument, guys. That's when he's like, what happened? And I'm like, I don't remember saying that. That's when it was hormonal.
Yeah. And a lot of times it's like a simple remedy. My wife is like, I don't feel good. I'm like, well, you know, are you dehydrated? A lot of the times the answer is yes. And I fix it right then and there and get her a bottle of water. Then the second thing I go to is, you know, do you need some aspirin? Did you take some aspirin? The answer is no. Okay. So it's like simple little remedies. And then for the next day, you can implement, you know what? Let's get some exercise in first. I guarantee you, once you lead with fitness in life, your life is a lot smoother.
Yeah. And also something that's just been like, I guess it's a little cheat meal because it's a little sweet snack, but something that's been making me feel better for some reason lately is a cup of tea.
Yeah.
A cup of tea mm-hmm. with milk, well, with almond milk.
Treat thyself. Milk, always and, treat thyself.
And Milano cookies. Mm-hmm. Anytime I'm not feeling good, Mike will make that for me and I'm just the ninth maid. Everything's perfect for me. But yeah, the relationships I feel like are really struggling right now. And some of you guys might be home with kids. And also working jobs from home and, mm-hmm. you know, having your boss to answer to and coworkers and then your other coworkers that people are jokingly calling their kids that because their kids are with them 24/7 and homeschooling. So the struggle is definitely real, but give yourselves a pat on the back because we're all in it together. And it's definitely an out-of-the-norm situation.
It definitely is. Like I said before, we're in unprecedented times right now. Also, you need to understand sort of like perception. And which we spoke about this, I think, in our first podcast about love languages.
Yes.
And people have no idea what love languages is. And
yeah, we should do a whole episode on love languages.
And it really we'll just... And it has to do with, you know, how you were raised and how you were brought up.
Yes, it does.
You know, when I was younger, a lot of the times my mother and father, anytime there was a disagreement, my father would, you know, buy something for... you know, us. And as I got older, that's what I would do,
yep.
You know, with my now wife, I try to, it's not that I buy her affections. It's just some of the things I've only known. Now I recognize that.
Yeah, you don't do it now.
I don't do it now, but I used to do it.
Yeah. When he was not sober, he would like,
if a problem happened,
I would try to buy a gift. The problem was usually you were a mass using probably. And then you would go and buy me something and it would be like that. Is cool, but not really. Like, that's not what I want. Like, you can keep buying things, but that's not going to make me happy. But yeah, you don't do that anymore because I think you recognized it and you fixed your own... I feel like you evolved into...
I have.
Refresh our love language education. I think we should have a whole Here's the Sitch episode about it and, like, educating what they are called and all that kind of stuff because... They're so interesting.
Yeah, a lot of guys' love languages are
gifts,
and they also like to be
physical touch,
or have sex. Which, listen, there's nothing wrong with that. And a lot of females,
but a lot of women's are.
A lot of women are like, "Why do you want to have sex all the time?" And the men are like, "Because I love you,
yeah,
or I like you." And the women are like, "No, we're not doing
like that because that's not their love language. But
that's not their
love language. Is like." An emotional connection or something else. And they're like, if you're not feeding what they need, they can't feed you the way you need it. Mm-hmm. And then it's like a whole cycle of dysfunction because it just, you have different languages.
Early on in my early Jedi days, when I was like a young Skywalker, I would always try to rush into sex. And a lot of the times, like there's always a time and a place for it, you know what I mean? But I didn't realize that my wife loved for me to like rub her back or do some like simple little foreplay things. And I really didn't get it for quite some time. You know what I'm saying? It's that simple.
You were very,
it's that simple.
Not working on yourself at that level where you could, like you were still, you know what I mean? You were still like the solo.
Yes.
Working in a silo by yourself.
Yes. There's other ways to get things done, guys. Not necessarily by force. There's always finesse. Okay, there's obviously education. There's ways to do things in life. It's not just by one way.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of the...
You get more with honey.
Yes.
Okay, honey, so you know Mother's Day is coming up, right?
Oh my God, I love Mother's Day.
Yeah, so I think I found the perfect gift for both of our mothers.
Yes.
What it is this amazing brand I found online called Orate, which is a fine jewelry made in New York City, founded by women for women. I love when I find companies like this. Pieces range from classic to statement to completely original. Orate makes the jewelry you've always wanted but can never find. Because Orate sells directly to you without the middleman markup, they can offer the same quality as traditional Fifth Avenue brands, but at a fraction of the cost. Orate hacked the jewelry market, making real gold accessible to everyone. Orate is ethically made in New York City, empowering women with the best jewelry options without sacrificing style. For every piece sold, a child in need receives a book to further their education. Wow. I love that. So and cool. This is why I really want to get these gifts for everybody, every mom in our life. Orate was actually started by two friends during brunch when one got a green finger from an overpriced ring. Gross. Sparking a conversation about how they were fed up with traditional jewelry market. Orate was founded on the desire to shake up the jewelry market by offering modern women beautiful designs, amazing quality at affordable prices, and ethically sourced pieces that they can wear every day. Orate is looking to set the standard for women because they deserve the best. That is facts. Give the mom in your life a little bit of sparkle and a whole lot of love this Mother's Day with a gift from Orate. Don't forget, Mother's Day is Sunday, May 10th. You can shop Orate's fine, sustainable jewelry collections all on their website from the comfort of your couch wherever you are quarantining. I actually tried out Orate's gold, 14 karat gold, huggy, cute earrings, and they are adorable. I picked in rose gold, and I'm loving them, and I really want to just gift them to everybody this year. So, of course, we have a special discount code for our Here's the Sitch listeners. You can get 15% off your first Orate purchase. All you have to do is go to oratenewyork.com/situation and use promo code situation. That is AURATENewYork.com/situation, promo code situation. Don't say horrible things. It sounds silly saying it, but don't say anything horrible about your partner to them because you don't mean it.
Yeah.
And guess what? When you make up, whether it's the next hour or maybe
still gonna be there.
Maybe you're really prideful people and you don't speak for a week. I used to be that person, by the way. I was like that. And what an unhealthy...
Put the ego down.
Yeah, what an unhealthy and unhappy way to live. Like, I pray for everybody that is like that because you really...
The know-it-all? Know-it-all?
I don't know if that counts as being a know-it-all. That's also something you want to work on if you are.
Yeah.
But no, having, like, getting in a fight with your significant other and not speaking for a week.
Yeah, that is...
And
that
being
is
married and in the same house and having kids... Like,
that is
it's
unhealthy,
not healthy.
And that's toxic.
It's very toxic to everyone in the household, in the environment, in the relationship. And guys, you only have one life, so nobody should ever live like that. And I would just really work on yourself.
You need to address things. It's just like a bill. When a bill comes
exactly.
in the mail, you gotta address it.
If your toilet bowl was running and your water bill quadrupled, okay, which happened to us once. And what are you going to do? Just, like, tuck it away, put it in the shredder?
No.
You have to pay that water bill.
These days,
so the sooner maybe you call the water bill company and you say, hey, I didn't know my toilet bowl was running. I'm getting it fixed by a plumber. Can we do installment payments? Can you take some of this? Mm-hmm. Can we do whatever? And you're not going to just ignore it because guess what? Then your water is going to get turned off. Then you're going to be even more screwed than you are today with a big water bill.
Well, listen.
So you kind of like have to look at your relationship in that way. Like, don't let these little things build up. Approach them head on.
Yeah.
And don't say dumb shit when you're angry because once you do move on from that argument, you can't take back things that were said.
And another thing, when you do address things in life, I would suggest that if you don't know about it, ask friends, ask family, ask professionals, but definitely do not ignore it. Address it.
Yeah, definitely address it. I would suggest asking professionals because relationship...
Well,
I'm
not even just saying about drama from relationships.
You're saying anything.
I'm talking about anything. I'm talking about bills come.
Get advice.
I'm talking about
other perspectives.
Yeah, I'm talking about a bill comes. Whatever happens,
right.
Someone tries to sue you. I mean, things are going to happen in life. Life's going to happen on life's terms. And if you don't know about something, you can't just say, get stressed out and get worried. Don't do nothing and sweep it under the rug.
No.
You must address it. If you don't know about it, ask some family. Then go down the line, ask some friends. Then go down the line and ask professionals. These days, guys, we double and triple check our professionals.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because at the end of the day...
You need that second and third opinion.
You do. At the end of the day, guys, you have to be accountable for your own life. And no one is going to do anything for you except the man or the woman in the mirror.
No, I think that was really great advice. And I think that... our listeners are, I think everybody's just in such a unique stage right now in life and trying to navigate their way through.
Oh, God, it's...
So I just want to, before we like wrap up this topic of relationship advice, I just am trying to like rack my brain of like what are such key things that really help me.
I like improvement, small changes daily. You can't, Rome was not built in a day.
Mm-hmm.
But... as I've given advice before, I would work on yourself first, and then everything sort of follows. Am I right, honey?
Yeah.
You know, if you work on yourself and you try to be more positive and you try to be more healthy and it just everything starts to snowball, okay?
Yeah.
And even in your relationships. And also when you have negative relationships in life, you're going to have to put up those boundaries.
100%. Boundaries are key, guys. They protect you from toxic relationships, whether it's friends, neighbors, family members, coworkers, whatever. Boundaries are super key, and you definitely need to honor them and...
stop touching your eye, honey.
Sorry.
COVID is out there, all right?
I haven't left the house all day.
Do you guys, this woman is constantly touching the eyes.
I have allergies. Does anyone else have really bad spring allergies?
Save me, guys.
My allergies are so bad that I'm just sneezing all the time. I was in line at Whole Foods trying to get in with a face mask on, and I was sneezing in my face mask. Luckily, people were nice and saying, bless you. But I was like, oh my God, they think I have COVID now.
I know. People are
but
going,
but I just have allergies. Like, mm-hmm. I don't have a cough. I couldn't tell when it's allergies.
It's definitely crazy times right now. I'm, definitely shook myself. But any advice I would give, just like we've handled anything in our life, I'd say take it one day at a time.
Yes. And it's a lifelong process, too. If you are in a relationship, you're always trying to... strive to be your best self,
yes.
Be better, and
yes.
There should never be an end goal. Like, you want to be happy every day. You should be able to put your head on your pillow at night and be happy and wake up in the morning and look at your partner and be happy. But there's no like end result. Like, you should always be grateful and be loving your partner.
Good rule of thumb is progress over perfection.
Yes, that's what I was trying to say.
Yes.
Okay, so last week we did have a big Q&A session with all of you guys.
Yes, I love to do the Q&As because I feel like it's a fun, interactive way for our listeners, our fans, and is it subscribers?
No, subscribers. Yes, subscribers.
Yes,
yep.
Subscribers. For us to interact with our fans. So cool. What do we have on deck today, Mrs. Situation?
So yeah, I have a few ready for you. This is from Verena.
Verena's?
Verena, yeah.
Ooh.
And her question is, how long did it take for you to get sober and clean?
Oh, wow. How long did it take for me to get sober? I don't know. It took... honey, do you want to help me with that?
Yeah. So it took a long time, which is why I did love this question.
I think
for
I started
you.
To get sober in 2012, where I went to my first rehab. I didn't get it then. I didn't listen when I went to rehab. I didn't think I had a problem. I eventually went to maybe two more rehabs. By the time it became 2015, I was sick and tired of being sick and tired. My life was not going well. I was wondering, like, how did I end up in rehab for the third or the fourth time? Why was I not getting this? Why did my life suck? Why did people not want to be around me? Why did MTV not want to give me a TV show? Like, it just went on and on and on. And I was willing to really do anything. And then that's when I really put all my effort in. I said, you know what? I'm promising myself right here and right now that I'm going to do whatever it takes.
Yeah.
And
so it took years.
Yeah. Right? Well, that's the short answer.
No,
Thanks, honey. It took years. It definitely did take years.
No, but that's why I picked that question, because some people there may be a really quick
and
way.
I'm still in recovery right now.
Exactly.
And like I said,
it's your life timeline.
It is. I accept that I have an addictive personality. That's one of the main things that when I do, when I speak at treatment centers and colleges and things like that, the main thing is that you have to change the negative behaviors to positive ones.
Yeah.
And that is where my life had changed. I'm now still an addict. I am. But now I'm addicted to bettering myself. I'm addicted to fitness, family, my beautiful wife, helping other people, balance, and all those things right now. Everyone's like, oh my God, that sounds so cool. It took a couple years.
It took a lot of time and work.
A lot of one day at a time, guys.
A lot of one day at a time of changing tiny things that eventually when you looked back over a week, you're like, wow, I stayed on track all week.
Yep.
I didn't have a substance all week. And then a month goes by, and then a year goes by, and then 5 years goes by. And you just are having these small building blocks on top of each other. It's not doing huge changes every day.
That's what people get,
that's where you get stuck.
That's where people get stuck.
I would even get stuck on that because I want instant gratification. Or, you know what I mean? Like, you just...
People look at the whole staircase, and you have to look at the first step.
Yep.
And you do it one day at a time, and you turn around, days and weeks and months. I'm going to be 5 years coming up soon, guys. Mm-hmm. 5 years in December. And I wear my sobriety on my shoulder, on my chest, like a badge of honor.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a warrior out there. And, I love what I'm doing today. I'm sort of spreading a message of hope out there that the comeback is greater than the setback. And I'm going to continue to do so.
I love that. And I really like that you share it one day at a time because people get, that's the number one question we get everywhere.
How did you do it?
In any context, whether it's on the show, whether it's walking around or it's doing a speaking engagement, and even on the podcast, is like, how did you do it? How do you get sober?
How did you do it, y'all?
And how did you do it in a successful way?
How did you survive prison? One day at a time.
It really is just getting out of your own way.
Yep.
Because nothing is stopping you from it except for yourself.
I don't like cliches, but I do love cliches. Keep it simple, stupid.
Yeah, I love that one. It's so true, though.
And you know
but
what?
It's hard. It doesn't mean it's easy.
No, listen.
It's very hard.
In the beginning.
However, it's very simple.
In the beginning, I think the first year of my sobriety or my active recovery or my road to recovery, I focused a lot on my body. And eventually I realized that I needed balance in my life.
Yeah.
And that's when, I would practice fitness first, but always I would...
He didn't come out of rehab like this perfect, man, like wise Yoda with a six pack. Like he really focused on fitness and himself, and our relationship took a back seat.
Yeah.
Like we were still together and he wasn't doing anything wrong in the relationship, but we were not like evolving. We were just... letting him grow himself.
Find myself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that we could then be like, okay, let's grow this.
And like a GPS, I kept recalculating.
Exactly. And that's like his big thing too.
It sounds funny. And it sounds funny.
Just so you know, if you haven't seen that commercial, it's an old one. But it's like basically you take a wrong turn and then you're recalculating on your GPS. Your entire life is recalculating because you make plans and God laughs. Okay. So... God is the only one that knows your path when you're like, should I take this new job offer? Should I marry this person? Should I have kids here? Should I travel here for the honeymoon? Like all these questions you think you're planning, they're out of your control. You're making choices, but the stars are aligning for things to happen away or not happen away.
Mm-hmm.
And the only one that has that GPS coordinates for your life is God.
Very true. And all these little tiny decisions that you are making on a daily basis, everything from the time that you go to sleep at night to the food that you eat to the attitude that you have to maybe the effort that you put in at work, all of those have an effect
mm-hmm.
on the trajectory of your life.
They do.
So I'm a big believer in sort of putting everything in 100. I've learned to stop going against the tide. And start going with the tide. Now,
yes,
now we do. Now we do everything in a positive manner to sort of go for our life. We try to eat healthy. We work out. We have positive relationships. Any negative relationships, we put boundaries on.
Yeah, we practice what we preach so much that when we are around somebody like we have super boundaries. So we don't have toxic people in our circle, period. Like, we don't associate with them.
No.
And there's tons of them out there.
No.
We just have boundaries in place so that we don't interact with them. So it's really interesting because sometimes things will come up where we'll be in a group setting and there will be a very toxic person. And it's like my whole energy is shook. Yes. And I'm like, oh my God, this is what life used to be like when you're like on a roller coaster and you have no idea like where the turn's coming, mm-hmm. when you're going upside down. You're like, holy shit. Like, I don't miss that anxiety ridden living at all.
And now, you know, years and years of continually doing the right thing when maybe the wrong thing was happening for us and our relationship. Now, you know, we have friends that are practically family.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? We have a small, very tight circle. And those people, when we call on those people for a favor or for to help us or maybe for a resource, snap of a finger, they're there for us. And you want to know why? Because we are there for them.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been there for them for years.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what life is all about.
Yes. This is a question we get a lot for you. So I'm going to throw it in there. It's from Jen. And it's, how hard is it to stay sober around your Jersey Shore roomies?
Oh, it's not hard at all now. I mean, I have the mantra of staying in my own lane and running my own race.
It's so funny because when I read this question, I almost wrote your answer just as notes. And I'm like, I know.
Yeah,
I knew
at
you
this
were
particular
say that.
Point, I know that what I bring to the table, I bring something very strong to the table. I don't need to drink. I don't need to wonder why the guy next to me is having some wine. I know. I understand that. I am my best self without substances.
Yeah, guys, the biggest part of that to me that spoke to me is like, stay in your own friggin' lane. Like, it's none of your business what anybody else is doing. That's the honest truth.
If
somebody's sitting at dinner and having a drink,
good for you.
Cool.
Enjoy.
If they want to go home and like if they're able to have a drink and live a great, successful life.
Some people
that's
are.
That's amazing.
Some people are.
If they're going to go home and have World War III with their husband, who knows? You don't know, but it's none of your business what they're doing.
Yeah.
So stay in your own lane. Stay focused and do what's right for you.
And another thing that I like to talk about all the time, some people say it to me all the time, how do you live life without drugs and alcohol? And I'm like, well, if you need drugs and alcohol in your life, you're doing it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Mic drop. Okay, right there.
Yeah, serious mic drop.
Yeah. So I am very proud of the way that I live my life. And I live my life with integrity, peace, and purpose. Okay? And the frequency that I'm vibing at right now is something that I feel is sometimes almost unattainable for people. I've worked years and years for this vibration or frequency of positive. When I enter into a room, I'm like changing the vibe of the room.
It is. It's really true because it is challenging and but it's so worth it once you
so
challenge
rewarding.
Yourself to grow to that level. It's so cool.
And the same applies when, you know, I started going into nightclubs when there was music playing.
Yeah.
As soon as the music's on, I'm vibing out. I'm dancing because I love the song. The people next to me are waiting maybe a half hour
right.
to get their buzz on before they can dance and sort of like, you know, have fun. I'm having
before
fun.
Before they can loosen up and feel good.
I'm having fun the minute I walk in. And guess what? By the time I leave, I don't have a hangover.
Yeah.
I'm waking up the next morning, getting that workout in, okay, and being my best self. Catch up.
Yes, and it's funny because I went to a wedding a year or two ago. It was right before our wedding. And I was dancing with my girlfriends, and they were all holding cocktails, or most of them were. And we had just gotten there, like the ceremony just ended, and I was dancing on the dance floor with them. And my girlfriend's like, oh my God, I'm so jealous of you that, because I wasn't drinking at all the whole night. I just wasn't in the mood. I don't drink often, even to begin with, but I didn't have any drinks at the wedding. So she was like, oh my God, like I wish I could just dance and have a good time without drinking. And it wasn't her saying she needed, like she's an alcoholic. It was her saying that like she didn't have that like confidence and
yes,
comfortability in her own
yes.
skin
mm-hmm.
to let loose and like be able to vibe out to music and not care what people think of you and actually enjoy yourself without having like a glass or two of wine. So it wasn't her being an addict. It was just her not being at that level in life where she can just vibe out. Okay, honey. You know how much I love true crime stories, right?
I know. That's all you watch, honey.
I know. So I just found this really cool podcast that I want to just share with you guys. It is called 1041 with Todd McComas. It has all the elements you would enjoy from your favorite true crime podcast. But 1041 has something a little bit different that sets it apart. So Todd McComas is a stand-up comedian who actually is also a retired state police detective. So Todd offers insight from his own training and experience as a criminal investigator to each story. Even though it's hosted by a comedian, 1041 with Todd McComas is not a comedy true crime podcast, just really rich storytelling mixed with the opinion and perspective of a man with 21 years of experience investigating crimes and prosecuting those responsible.
Damn.
Yes, babe. If you enjoy listening to outrageous crime stories, which I love to do, especially during this quarantine, and feel you'd enjoy the special additional perspective and insight of a detective who devoted much of his life to stopping monsters, then give 1041 with Todd McComas a listen. You can learn more about Todd McComas and this podcast at 1041podcast.com or by following at 1041podcast and at Todd McComas on social media. If you are really into Here's the Sitch podcast, please follow us on Instagram at Here's the Sitch podcast. I am posting really fun memes and also some references for the things that we do talk about on this show. So whether it's like a specific poem or a quote or different, you know, resources for the background of our subject nature on Here's the Sitch. Yep. So make sure you give that a follow. Here's the Sitch podcast on IG.
The positive podcast that you never knew you needed.
Seriously.
Exactly. Well, back to Here's the Sitch, guys. Well, Mrs. Situacion, what else do they want to hear from us here?
Okay.
Because we really went off on a tangent, but I really love conversations about higher intelligence and bettering yourself. And,
me too.
And be so busy working on yourself that you have no time to criticize others.
I love that you said that because I am such a huge believer in that. And my husband, I have to give him the credit where credit is due, that he really inspired me to live that way. And I had to cut out some friends and not totally cut out, but I had to like limit
healthy boundaries
and limit certain like interactions with them because I, what is the word? I incorporated that in my life so much, the being so positive and so focused on bettering myself that I never speak ill of anyone.
Yeah, no, we
if there's a thought in my mind to say it, I will like retrain my mind to say, what is your insecurity that you're thinking about? One, two, what is really bothering you? And then solving it in my own headspace and not bringing that to light.
Our home,
or verbally.
The Situation household is a negativity free zone here.
Right.
We never speak ill of anyone. And if any type of gossip comes out, we sort of cut it off immediately.
And we're
like,
yeah.
No, there's no need to speak like that.
And a lot of times it's just like pop culture and it's just like talking about pop culture or talking about like public figures or people that are in the spotlight that to a lot of people you feel like they're not like human. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like you can talk about them. You can say, oh my God, what was she thinking wearing that? Like, or what was she doing wearing that in the red carpet? She's worse dressed. Like, I don't even say things like that. And I used to be like, Fashion Police was my favorite show ever, RIP Joan Rivers, okay? Mm-hmm. So I don't allow myself to speak that way because everyone is a human being at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And for you to just put that negative energy, even if it's just kidding type thing or whatever, you don't realize like the power of that vibration, of that negativity that you're sending that shockwave
into the universe.
Mm-hmm. And then all it does, guys, is boomerang right back to you. Mm-hmm. So, like,
got him.
Yeah, you just need to not go there with anything. And just remember, public figures are humans just like you. So imagine if you were having that bad day.
Real
on
quick,
that red
before
you tear them apart.
Before we go into any other topics, Give me one or two things that you want to work on yourself.
I want to read a lot more.
Oh my God, same. And you know why I want to read more, probably because a lot of the times when I go on gigs, I'm not horrible at reading a teleprompter, but I'm not the best. Okay, I'm so good in scene, in reality, and sort
that's
of like
that's why you're so good in reality. It's real.
And sort of improvising, but a lot of the times when I do teleprompter, they tell me I'm a bit stiff. So that is what I want to work on. I want to read more so that I can do teleprompter and some. I will work on reading to do like. You know, scripted work.
Yeah, I love, you should be doing that. And that is a huge benefit to reading. I want to read more just to educate myself in so many different areas
yeah.
that I haven't experienced in life. Mm-hmm. I actually just came across a book that I'm going to buy on my iPad or mm-hmm. my phone, whatever, because I like to read them online because I'll read it while I'm on the treadmill in the Books app. So I just found one that's like a negotiation, mm-hmm. but it's called, what is it called? Never Split It Halfway or something like that. I don't know. I'll look up the name of it. I didn't buy it yet. I'm going to buy it today, actually. And it's just speaking about how negotiation is, being a good negotiator, like benefits your life in so many ways. But mm-hmm. it's mainly, they're using that word as like advertising to buy the book. And the guy is a former FBI negotiator with terrorists and stuff, mm-hmm. like to save people, whatever. Long story. But the point is that negotiation is communication.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And the biggest part of negotiation is practicing mirroring, which is what negotiators do uh-huh. and interrogators do in police force and FBI and that kind of stuff. And mirroring, do you know what mirroring is?
I do not.
So all mirroring is you take the last three words mm-hmm. that the person said to you mm-hmm. and you repeat them back.
Oh my goodness.
And it's this whole subconscious like mind check where the person that's then speaking to you that you're trying to negotiate and communicate with and get information from is becomes so much more forthcoming with what they're trying to say because you're mirroring by saying what they're saying. Even if you don't agree with them or don't know what they're saying, it makes them feel like it's a welcome space where they can continue.
Mm.
So that's just a communication tactic. So that was like what was in the advertisement.
What are you trying to negotiate, Mrs. Situation?
No,
I'm joking. It's a joke.
I'm a very good negotiator, I have to say. I am my father's daughter in that way. In my past career, I was a luxury fashion buyer and my job revolved around negotiating certain things. Mm-hmm. So I was very, very experienced with that.
Yeah,
and now I incorporate that in our life today too.
No, you like do. You run a very tight ship, and any time that we are negotiating any type of deal in our work, you're a tough cookie.
Yeah.
So I'll give you that one.
Yeah, I have a question for me actually.
Oh my goodness!
It's from Kayla, and it says, "When Mike was in jail, how was your mental state?"
Oh my goodness!
So I picked this question because I thought it was a great question. And obviously, I went through a lot of different emotional, mental states while he was gone. Okay? So I think when he first left, I definitely went through a period of time. Keep in mind, it was winter. It was the dead of winter. Mm-hmm. And it was 5 days after my birthday. Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness.
So me and Mosey hunkered down, and we decided to watch A Star Is Born for the first time.
For like 5 days straight.
And then, it went on for way more than 5 days. So we watched A Star Is Born, which I had never seen prior, which was obviously the remake with Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper. And I laid in bed and watched A Star Is Born for days. And then I stopped feeling sorry for myself. And I got up every day. I spoke to my husband every day and I just remained positive. And honestly, I said this when he first got home and we were being asked these questions all the time, but he kept me positive while he was away in prison.
Oh my goodness.
He was the one that would send me positive emails and
every single day.
Every day.
For 8 months straight.
And like uplifting quotes. Yeah. And keeping me on track and saying like, what did you eat today? And like, what positive workout did you do?
Back to the basics, guys.
Did you hang out with your family? Did you see any of your girlfriends? Did you, you know, did you go on a nice walk with Mosey? It was really nice out today. Mm-hmm. Like, he kept me very focused on the positive things.
It's one foot in front of the other, guys. And being positive in a negative situation is not naive. It is called leadership. Mm. Right, honey?
Mm-hmm. I love that question. But I really did, towards the end, like, 8 months is 8 months. 8 months is a long time. So I did rely heavily on my husband's positivity and then also my own fitness and holding myself accountable and having a routine. Like, routine is everything, especially, you all can relate to this, especially while we're all in quarantine right now. Having a routine is so valuable.
It is very important, guys. You have to be your own coach, your own motivator, your own determination. Your own focus. You need to write your own praises. At the end of the day, no one is going to do this work for you but the man or the woman in the mirror. Okay.
Facts. Okay, let's see what else we got here, babe. How do I come out of quarantine jacked like BDS? Question from Craig.
How do you come out of quarantine jacked? I would say to have the mantra, and this is sort of what you believe every single day, to do something today to make your future self proud. And, yes. what that means, guys, is every single day that you wake up, you have 24 hours to seize that day. And in that one day, okay, you have to get after the exercise. Okay, just like steps, one day at a time. And then you work on those and you improve from the day before. Okay, so you work on your fitness and maybe you worked out for 60 minutes. The next day, you go in the next day for 61 minutes. Mm. Maybe you go a little harder.
Exactly.
Maybe you do more cardio. And then out of nowhere, guys, maybe 3 months later, quarantine's over. And now you have maybe an hour and a half to 2 hour workout.
That's amazing.
Okay, you're dieting 6 days a week. You got one cheat day. And you got a mean six pack because you continued on a daily basis to do something today to make your future self proud.
I love that quote. I love that quote because no matter how you're feeling about yourself, you may be feeling
no like, excuses.
Yeah, you had a bad cheat meal. You slacked off the gym. Like, you don't have to think about tomorrow and you don't have to think about yesterday, but you have today. Do one thing positive that's going to make you happy that tomorrow.
I ate a can of tuna in prison for 8 months straight. Literally a can of tuna, and I used to negotiate with the guys that worked in the kitchen to bring me out fresh salads 2 to 3 times a day, which wasn't easy. So for 8 months straight, I ate a can of tuna. And if you ever heard of mackerel, which I have never heard of what mackerel is.
Mackerel is a fish.
Mackerel is a fish, and it is one of the biggest commodities in prison. Everyone trades a haircut for maybe 2 to 3 mackerels. You know, give me 5 mackerels, and I'll train you for the week.
Wow.
That's how it worked out.
Does anyone talk about mackerel as money?
Yes.
On the outside because of that? Like, no. Do you think that's slang? I feel like I've heard that before, mackerels.
No, mackerels is...
Like, it sounds... Doesn't it sound like... What's the...
I don't know, honeys. You know, mackerels is a fish, and it is similar
it
to...
It sounds like it could be a foreign currency, doesn't it? Yeah, I mean, it was maybe. In prison.
Mackerels. It was mackerels in prison is a currency. They would trade maybe 3 to 5 mackerels for a haircut. They would also trade.
What is it? The highest form of currency? Like, is a mackerel like $100 bill?
It was the most common and
no, but was it the highest? Like, what was the lowest? Like, was there a pack of gum or something, or maybe tuna? Because tuna's lower.
The tuna was also in discussion for bartering, but mainly it was the mackerel.
It was mackerel.
It was really anything that they can get their hands on. Like, if you had a bag of Doritos, someone might exchange that bag of Doritos for, I'll let you use the TV tonight.
But this is my question. I want to know the hierarchy. Like, is the Doritos above a can of mackerel?
The Doritos was not a high favorite option.
The Doritos was like a dollar bill.
I would say 7 out of 10 guys, if they or 7.5, if you had a deal with somebody, they wanted the mackerel.
Yeah, so that was like $100 bill.
Yes. Tip. Yeah.
And the Doritos were kind of like a $5 bill.
The Doritos.
What else was
Doritos
in there? I'm really interested in this. I'm usually bored with the prison comments because I spoke to the guy every single day when he was in there. I heard everything. So nothing is really interesting to me. But I kind of want to hear about the prison currency.
Soda was also very highly touted commodity.
Really?
Not necessarily.
I would think it would be healthy things.
Not necessarily diet soda. It was ginger ale.
Ginger ale
was very...
Good old ginger ale.
Ginger ale, yeah. People really Solid. Wanted the ginger ale in prison. I will give you...
Listen, I like ginger ale once in a blue,
I'll
too.
Give you 3 ginger ales for a haircut, and I'll let you watch the TV from 8 to 9 p.m.
But who is the head in charge of the TV?
Most of all, it would be the elders. The elders would be the guys that were there for 9 to 10 years, 5 to 10 years, and they're there, and they have seniority over everything.
And would they agree upon it, or they were just... amongst themselves.
I mean, I had it good with a couple guys that were in there for 7 or 9 years, and they were very generous people. They liked BDS, and they would give me more things a lot of the times than me giving them. Mm. But again, they had stuff stockpiled for, like I said, 10 years. You know, they had 10 years worth of mackerels,
wow.
10 years worth of not Doritos. Obviously, they go bad, but some of those things.
Yeah, the canned goods.
Yeah, some of those guys were stocked up in there.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right, guys. So we always love to end Here's the Sitch on a positive note. I like to end it with chapter from the book, the good book. And my,
oh my
hubby
goodness.
Loves to end it with a favorite quote. So what's it going to be today? Who's going to end it?
Well, I have to think about it. Do you want to start? You know what? I live by this, so I have to get it out there, guys. And you should live by this. Everything that you go through in life, you will find a way or you will find an excuse.
Ooh.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Woo! And that is the truth.
It is the truth.
It is the truth.
There's no other further explanation
there is
for that
no
one.
Other explanation, guys. You become better or you become bitter. You find a way or you find an excuse.
Mm-hmm.
You rise to the occasion or you get swallowed up by circumstance.
Oh, dang.
Yup. Yup.
Yep. Oh, damn. Yep. All right, guys. On that note, stay safe, stay healthy. We love you. Follow us on Here's the Sitch podcast on IG. We will post some of these fun things we talked about today and some fun quarantine memes. And we will see you next Tuesday on Here's the Sitch.
Yes.